You may be seated. My name is Brett Sweet. Please keep your Bibles open there to Hebrews chapter 1. If you're with us for the first time, we are just beginning really a year-long trek and adventure through the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of Christians, probably in Rome is our best guess, who are considering leaving the faith, considering walking away. Specifically, it seems that these people had a Jewish background. They were considering going back to Judaism. And because we are like these people at times, we can face persecution like they did. We can face difficulties. We can be tempted to leave the faith. This book has incredible relevance to us. So let me pray once again in that we would have God's help today. It's great to see all of you on this snowy day. Many more people here than I expected. So let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is you speaking to us. And now, Lord, we pray that you would send out your light and your truth, and that you would lead us. We know that that's found in the person of Christ, so we pray that you would reveal Jesus to our hearts and help us to see him as he really is, as more glorious than anything possible or imaginable. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of my best friends in college went to this school in Kenya for missionary kids called Rift Valley Academy, and he told me this story, and I actually read it again this week. And it was very interesting. In the 1950s, there was great turmoil in Kenya, and there was this event called the Mau Mau Uprisings. And these Mau Mau tribes, what had happened is they rose up to basically overthrow any reference whatsoever towards the colonizers of East Africa. And so these Mau Maus went to this village called Lari. And in Lari, what they did is they basically put all these people, ushered them into huts, and lit them on fire. And then anybody that ran out, they killed with machetes. So they wiped out this great slaughter, really. They wiped out this whole village, over about 300 people. And then they started marching for Rift Valley Academy. So they grabbed their bows and arrows. It's illegal to own guns in Kenya unless you're in the military. They grabbed their bows and arrows. They grabbed their spears. They grabbed torches. And this great procession marches towards Rift Valley Academy. And as they near it, they can see this great sight. RVA has all these lights, so it can be seen from a long ways away. And they're marching closer. They get within range where they can start to use their bows and arrows and spears. And immediately, people watching, expecting death, look out and see this great sight. The torches are dropped, and the men run into the nearby jungle where there's leopards and snakes and things like that. And they basically launch an investigation. The army goes, captures the whole band of Mau Maus, these raiders, and they're put on trial. There's an investigation. They're put on trial. And the leader is being asked by this judge these questions. And he says, so on this particular night, did you kill all the inhabitants of Lari? Yes. Well, then why didn't you complete your mission? Why didn't you attack the school? The leader of the Mau Maus answered, we were on our way to attack and destroy all the people in the school and the school itself. But as we came closer, all of a sudden, between us and the school, there were many huge men dressed in white with flaming swords. And we became afraid and we ran and to hide. It's a sighting of an angel, of angels. Very consistent with the way the Bible basically proclaims them to be. And this is by non-Christians, people not looking for angels, people who are forced to come face to face with them. And it's a great sight of great beings. And if this is the greatness of angels, if angels are really like this, and there's lots of stories like this, by the way, and yet we as Christians worship the Son of God, Jesus, the question then is posed, could the Son be even greater than angels? Could the Son of God be even greater than these giant angels who have flames, who have swords of flame? And despite our best efforts to basically remove the supernatural from our world, We live in a supernatural world. We love stories about wizards and hobbits and elves and superheroes and demigods. And a couple years ago, everybody was going around with phones trying to spot Pokemon around the world. We have this sense where we need to connect with the supernatural because we live in a supernatural world, and that's a good thing. And the same was true for these Hebrews. They knew they lived in a supernatural world, and they wanted to connect to it. And they knew that the law had been given by angels. It references that in Deuteronomy. But if we're going to figure out what these angels are like, how are we going to know anything about them? The Hebrews wanted to know. The way we find it out is by going to the Bible, not to TV, not to touched by an angel, not to Supernatural, which I understand is a television show that has angels and demons and so forth with it, not to our friends, not to experiences, because sometimes even our experiences can be wrong. We can sometimes fabricate things. Sometimes we can misinterpret things. We go to the Bible. And then you'll see here, chapter 1, I'm going to make this comment once and not spend really any other time on it. But you'll notice that when the Bible is quoted, God speaks. When they quote passages from the Old Testament, it's as if God is speaking, because that's what it is. So today we're going to investigate these angels, and we're going to ask questions and compare and contrast them to the Son of God to see, is it possible that the Son is even greater than angels? So we're going to look at what the Bible says about this, and we're going to ask three questions on our investigation. Does the Son or do angels have a greater relationship with the Father? Who has a greater relationship, the Son or angels? Does the Son have greater honor than the angels? Who has greater honor? And does the Son have greater power over creation than the angels? So who has greater power? Those are the three questions we're going to ask. First question, does the Son have a greater relationship with God than angels do? Answer, yes, he does. If God is the ultimate reality, the most important thing, the greatest thing, then the most important thing about us is how we relate to him and how everything and everybody else relates to God. And Hebrews shows us that Jesus has a relationship with God that's greater than the relationship of any angel. God relates to Jesus the way a father relates to a son. And it's because they have eternally existed that way in the Trinity. They've always been relating to one another as a father and a son. They've eternally related to one another that way. Look with me at verse 5. Here's a question that's asked. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? Which angel has God said that to, the author says? The answer, none. Never been said to an angel. God's never said that to an angel, that an angel is his son. The Son has a greater relationship with God the Father than any angel does or ever will have. So as much as I love all of you, love to be with you, care for you, I have only one son. And his name is Matthias David Sweet. And I relate to Matthias differently than I relate to you. And you will be thankful because sometimes Matthias climbs into my bed. Sometimes I give baths to Matthias. I'm not really lining up to do that with any of you. Now, when we're in crowds, I want to make sure you're not hit by a car or your kids aren't hit by cars or fall off ledges or drown. I want to do that. But when there's high risk situations like that, my eyes are on my son. He's my priority. I have a greater type of relationship with my son than I do with you. And you would all agree that's a good thing. That's the way fathers and sons are supposed to relate. It would be wrong of me to treat other people just exactly the same way I treat my son. It would be wrong, be improper to treat a stranger the way I treat my son. So as great as angels are, flaming swords or not, they are not as great as the Son. They are not fitting intermediaries between God and man, because the Son can do things. He has a closer relationship than any angels will ever have. So if you're here today and you're seeking the supernatural realm, you're seeking to connect to something beyond what can be seen or measured, that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. If you want to be in a world that's populated, even probably in this room, with supernatural beings like angels, that's good. But don't stop there, because there's someone even greater as far as relationship goes. There's the Son. So don't look to new agey spirits of creation to connect with. Don't look to quasi-prophets like Seventh-day Adventists or Mormons claim. Don't look to the gods of the Hebrews. Don't even look to the angels of Judaism and Christianity. Don't even look to them. If you want to know the one great God, the one you need to know is the one greater than the angels. You need to know the Son of God, who has the greatest possible relationship with the Father. And as I mentioned earlier, it's important to note the authority of God's word here. When God speaks, the decision is made. It must be believed. It must be obeyed. So a very practical application of this for a lot of us is that we have to believe what God says. And that means that angels actually exist, and demons actually exist, and the devil actually exists. It means that what God says about anything must be believed. What it says about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, what it says about heaven and hell, what it says about what is sin and what isn't sin, what it says about how we spend our time or money or energy. We have to believe that what God's word says about him being authoritative over everything is true, even if it means we have less control than we thought. It means that we come to the Bible being willing to be corrected by the Bible. We don't just open it looking for everything to be confirmed, like, oh yeah, I do that, that's good, I'm glad it says that. I do that, that's good, it says that. No, we come there and look and say, God, where do I need to be corrected? Because God's word is authoritative. And the Bible says, as God's word, that the Son has a greater relationship with the Father than anyone else, including angels. So right off the bat, as great as angels are, we have evidence that the Son has a greater relationship with the Father. But maybe, you know, fundamentally, that may not necessarily make him better, I guess. I mean, I just like the fact that I had Labrador retrievers growing up. I had a relationship with my lab, Molly. Does that necessarily make labs better than wiener dogs? Does it? Maybe it's just a preference. It's just a different type of relationship. What we really need to do is compare them side by side. We really need to see if angels and the Son can be compared apples to apples. So that's the next question. Does the Son have greater honor than the angels? Does the Son receive and get greater honor than the angels? Answer again, yes. When we put angels and the Son of God side by side, we realize we can't put them side by side at all. One of them must be higher. One of them will stand and the other will bow. The Son must be greater because he receives greater honor than the angels. Angels worship him. Angels serve him. It's not an interaction between equals. It's an interaction between the beings that are fundamentally different, with one being greater than the other. And there's no exception to this. The greatest angels, even archangels like Gabriel or Michael, or perhaps there's more, we don't know, they must bow and worship the Son. They must. How do we know? Because this text says all God's angels will worship him. There are no exceptions. They are servants who serve for the honor of the Son. They can influence creation, but not the way Jesus can. Listen to this. They're just servants. Verses 6 and 7. You can look, read along with me. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, He says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. This fundamentally means that Jesus can't be just an angel. Can't just be just an angel. Because all the angels worship him. There's a thought that maybe some people thought, maybe Jesus was just an angel. But he must be something different. He must be something greater because he receives greater honor than all the angels receive. So some people have thought, as I mentioned, that maybe the Hebrews could get off by saying, you know what? It's really hard being a Christian. Let's go back to Judaism. And what we can just say is Jesus was a really good angel and the Jews wouldn't have a problem with that. We'll be welcomed back into the synagogue. We won't be persecuted by the Roman Empire. That'd be great. I'm not sure that's true. I think probably the Jews were just looking to the angels who had helped give the law on Mount Sinai. But regardless, when you encounter angels in the Bible won't let us be concerned with giving honor to somebody other than God himself. When you encounter angels in the Bible, and people encounter angels in the Bible, here's what happens. They either are worried about dying, or they start to worship the angels. So it's not like the precious moments angels, just kind of floating and feathery and smiles and chubby cheeks. They're going to worship these things. And what the angels always do is they say, don't worship me, worship God. So if you want to hold angels in really high stead, you'll do what they do. You'll give Jesus the honor he deserves. So the question is, are we doing that? Are we seeking to give honor to the Son of God in every part of our lives, in the way we work, the way we raise our kids, the way we seek a spouse, the way we relate to our friends? If you're like me, you recognize we're not very good at it. We need help. The good news is that we seek God in his word, and by his spirit, we're going to start to honor Christ more and more as we grow. We'll start to put to death sin. He's going to help us so that we can give Jesus the greatest possible honor, can give the Son the greatest possible honor. So we're investigating these very real and very powerful beings called angels, and we're asking if the Son could be even greater than the angels. So far, so good. Because when it comes to the way the Son relates to the Father, he has a greater relationship. When it comes to who receives greater honor, the Son gets more honor than the angels. So now the question is, are there any other ways the Son is greater than angels? So the next question, really the last question I'm going to ask is, does the Son have greater power over creation than the angels? Does the Son have greater power over creation? Answer again, yes. The Son has greater power. We know from the Old Testament that angels seem to have the capacity to exert power over creation. They can prevent people from crossing certain borders. They can shut lions' mouths. They can destroy armies. They can blind people. They can do all these things. But the Son has even greater power over creation. Because see, the Son is the eternal creator. He's existed forever. He's the creator. All of creation is owned by him. In comparison to the one who sits on the throne forever and ever, and whose years have no end, angels are basically just like a flicker of flame that's there a second and gone. It's like a wind that suddenly changes direction. Listen to verses 8 through 12. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. The Son is eternal, and he's the creator. an eternal creator. This sounds like God himself. Sounds like the Son is God. And that's exactly what this text says. You'll notice in verse 9, he's been anointed by God. He's been anointed by God. But yet, if you look up at verse 8, he's called God. Jesus is called God. This is the Father, Son. We get a little glimpse of the Trinity here. Jesus is fully God. We see how God the Son and God the Father relate as members of the Trinity, and that the Son has greater power over creation than even angels have, because he is God. So the Son has greater relationship with the Father than the angels have. The Son receives more honor than the angels receive. The Son has more power over creation than the angels have. So now we'll pose the overarching question one more time. See if we can make a decision. Could the Son be even greater than angels? Decision, yes. The Son is even greater than angels. We've kind of reached the climax of the passage here in verse 13. And if you'll notice, there's something repeated in verse 13 that's said in verse 5. It says, to which of the angels has he ever said? It's repeated. And that repetition is like a bracket. It's a literary device called an inclusio. And usually at the end of an inclusio, there is a conclusion. It's, here's all this stuff, conclusion. And the conclusion is verse 13. And verse 13 and 14 are very interesting because they sum everything up. Verse 13 is this quote of what's going to be the author of Hebrews' favorite psalm, Psalm 110, a psalm that talks about the Messiah, a psalm that Jesus applied to himself while he was alive, one that shows that Jesus, the Son, the Messiah, rules over everything. Listen to what verses 13 and 14 say. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? No angel's been told to sit at my right hand, only the Son. Kind of an interesting story. In ancient history, Julius Caesar in the Roman Republic, it's before he becomes emperor, declares himself emperor. He goes to conquer France, part of France, what's called Gaul. And there's this tribe of Gauls are uniting to fight against Caesar. And they're led by this guy named Vercingetorix. Vercingetorix. I'm just going to call him V. So V, he unites all these tribes, and V holds up, and they build this fortress essentially against Caesar and the invading armies at a place called Alesia. At Alesia. And so Caesar surrounds Alesia with V inside, but then bad news for Caesar, all of V's allies come and surround Caesar and company. So it's like this donut-shaped thing going on. And it looks like Caesar's on the ropes. Looks like this is the end of the Roman conquest. And so the fighting's going on, the Gauls are starting to defeat him, and they say, the legend has it, that it's not until Caesar himself enters the fray that the battle tide starts to turn, and the Romans win. And then it tells the story of how V surrenders. So Caesar is basically sitting in camp, and V gets on his highly basically ornamented horse. He's got all his army on. He rides directly to Caesar. He dismounts, takes off all of his armor, and he kneels down in silence in front of Caesar, basically saying, I'm fully submissive. Anything you want to do with me, you can do. You have that power. You've defeated me. Caesar had absolute power over V at this point in time. And so what he does is he imprisons him, keeps him basically as a living trophy, and they transport him back to Rome. Well, this is the sort of power that the Son will have over all his enemies. He has the power to make anybody demean themselves, crawl on the ground in front of him, stay on their hands and knees, be used as a footstool to put their feet up. This is the power that the Son has over his enemies. And it's natural at times to think our sin isn't a big deal. But if this is true, our sin is a serious deal. Because it's not just a little sin. It's actually treason. We're traitors. It's actually adultery. Because you see, everything we have and everything we are has been given to us by God, and now we're turning on him. We're his enemies. And if Jesus is even greater than the angels who have flaming swords, then we don't want him as an enemy. He's the last person we want as our enemy. And that's why it makes sense that there's a hell, as hard as it is to think about. But see, when we turn from our sins and trust in Christ, who basically paid the full payment, having our hell, in a sense, poured out on the cross in him, what's really interesting is the one who can rule all things, can conquer his enemies, who's greater than the angels, becomes our advocate, becomes our friend, who now dispenses the angels to help us, turns the angels instead of being part of judgment to part of our allies, one of our allies. He sends angels to serve and protect all those who are to inherit salvation. That's what verse 14 says. The angels become servants, servants of Christ, and who? Servants of those who are to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. Angels serve Christians. So odds are, probably, I don't know for sure, can't say this definitively, but probably angels have been protecting you in your life. Do you have one guardian angel? I can't say that. There's no evidence of that in the Bible. But perhaps in a car crash, when debris landed in certain places and cars went certain directions and you weren't hurt, perhaps there is an angel involved with that. Perhaps when you really, really, really wanted to be in a relationship with that person and it didn't work out, perhaps there is an angel sent by the Son of God to come serve and protect you. Perhaps those times in temptation when scripture was brought to your mind to help you battle it, maybe there is an angel sent to help you remember. Perhaps some of you will have stories like those that Rift Valley Academy has had someday. Or supernatural sightings. Perhaps that's possible. Perhaps there'll be great assistance to some of us as we near death. As we march towards death, perhaps there'll be angels coming to minister us. But if that's where we stop, if we just stop saying, wow, it's really great that we have angels working for us, we've missed the whole point of the passage. We've stopped too early. It's absolutely beyond generous that God would send angels to help Christians. And he should be celebrated that for that. But this passage tells us to give thanks for another reason. Because he's not only sent ministering spirits, God has sent his son. He sent his son to come, the one who's greater than the angels. Angels serve those who inherit salvation, but Jesus came to actually purchase our adoption, to actually make it possible for us to be Christians. Jesus has come to secure our right to be Christians, to have angels serve us. He did this by going to the cross after living a sinless life. He did that for you and for me. And after being raised from the dead 3 days later, God the Son sends someone even greater, another one who's greater than the angels. He sends his Holy Spirit. Angels can't do that. Angels can't tell the Holy Spirit what to do. But Jesus can commission the Spirit and send him out. Angels have great power, but Jesus is all powerful. Angels are fast, but Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is present everywhere. Angels are sinless, but Jesus is so holy that the angels have to cover their eyes and worship him and pronounce him holy, holy, holy. Angels can kill with flaming swords, but Jesus can kill just by speaking a word. Angels can fight against demons, but when Jesus commands demons to do something, they have to obey. Angels could deliver the spoken word of God, which is what these Hebrew Christians were making a big deal about. But Jesus is the eternal living word of God. Angels protect people, but Jesus the Son went to the cross because he loves you. More than just protecting you, he loves you. So it's good to do an investigation into what angels are like, what the Bible says about them. But it's greater still to know the Son. That's the greatest thing. So let's not give him up for something even as great as angels, because the Son is even greater than the angels.